This is the Blaze Radio On Demand. Prepare yourself to ingest current events, pop culture, and politics with a side of Latin flair.
Vices. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
What a 0-5 now. That was the tweet from President Trump this morning. It is a brighter day as the progressives inside of the basket of bias press put all their eggs in their basket of bias in the Georgia 6th and had it dumped all over them. It was a beautiful thing. That is coming up. My take, I'll probably get to it after the flip around on these special elections, which oddly enough are in the rear view mirror now for the likes of CNN, NBC, CBS, ABC. They just, for some reason, they don't want to talk about it anymore. Huh, wonder why that is. Welcome to the Chris Salcedo Show, folks. I am glad you have tuned into the program. Getting in touch with me, easy to do. If you want to do a little gloating, and I think you're due, I think it's okay after a victory. 888-933-93, and gloating's not the right word. Just being happy. Hey, we won. By the way, we have posted some faces of those who wanted to take away yours and my rights and liberties. Their faces after the Ossoff loss. We'll get to that here in mere moments as well. Now, I'll just describe to you what's going on there, because it is a single medium, sensory medium, only the audio component available for you here on the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network. SoundCloud, iTunes, and Stitcher, that's how you get in on-demand listening of all the programming here on the network. Catch the show live, theblaze.com/radio, the smartphone apps, and the iHeartRadio and the Blaze Radio smartphone apps, on social media at Chris Salcedo TX on Twitter, the Chris Salcedo Show on Facebook, and go to theblaze.com channels section and find us there. These individuals, you almost feel badly for them. It is the second post from the top, pictures of leftists who wanted to elect someone who was going to take away our rights. Second Amendment rights, First Amendment rights, and those kinds of things. So I encourage you, if you want to have a little bit of, satisfaction, head on over to the Chris Salcedo Show Facebook page and check them out. As I said, because we're conservatives, we almost feel badly for these individuals who, had they won, would not be as gracious as you and me. Let's get to the flip around. Let's start off. Let's see. I wonder if CNN is focused on the Georgia 6th.
No gain in telling the president this. Either way, what we do know is that for 21 days in between when Pompeo was confirmed and when Flynn was fired, Pompeo was doing a presidential daily brief almost every day. Flynn was in the room, and there were real secrets being shared there, and that his agency at that time had serious concerns about whether Michael Flynn had been basically was now at risk of being.
What did I say yesterday? What did I say? Newt Gingrich said the fix was in and that somebody was going to go down, not Trump, but somebody. And the basket of bias has zoomed in on Michael Flynn. I think he's the most vulnerable. He didn't tell the truth to the vice president even. So I think he's the most vulnerable here. But that's what CNN's not talking about the Georgia 6th, folks. That's all they were consumed with yesterday. Now, if the Democrat had won, don't you think the programming on CNN today would be very different? Oh, I guarantee you it'd be incredibly different. Let's get on over to MSNBS.
Of law and order, of humanity, of responsibility towards any human being. So what you're seeing, I think, is the American people's frustration with a regime that provokes and provokes and provokes and basically plays outside the rules, plays fast and loose with the truth, that sort of thing.
Secretary of Defense Mattis is live on MSNBS talking about the threats of North Korea, and that the American people are indeed, as an American, I'm tired. I'm tired of this, of the pot-bellied dictators over there, ruling the roost, being able to kill Americans without consequence. I'm deadly serious. I am up to here with Americans like Otto Warmbier being able to be slaughtered without so much as a retaliation upon the part of the United States. Now, this is something we've grown accustomed to in the era of Obama. Obama, of course, would never lift a finger to defend an American. He was very much more busy defending, you know, the Ayatollahs in Iran, the communists in Cuba, and those ilk. But I got to say, as an American, I am sick and tired of the communist regime in North Korea. I am tired of them. Let's get on over to Fox.
When these tests do happen, they normally happen sometime between 10 o'clock at night and 1 o'clock in the morning, East Coast time, so they're on high alert watching for these things. What it would mean to the increasing tensions with the North Koreans remains to be seen, and we'll get much more and bring you the highlights of that news conference in just a moment. But first, let's get to Peter Ducey, who's live on Capitol Hill, with more on the House Intelligence Committee hearings today on Russian meddling in our elections. Peter?
And the defense, or rather the former DHS Secretary Jay Johnson was here, Shep, and he was asked many times, why didn't you do more ahead of the election if you knew that the Russians might be meddling to warn Americans what may be coming? And he says that he thought putting out a statement a month ahead of the election on October 7th was plenty, because part of that statement said this, quote, the U.S. intelligence community, USIC, is confident that the Russian government directed the recent compromises of emails from U.S. persons and institutions, including from U.S. political organizations. But the problem is that statement got almost no press attention because it was released the same day as another major October surprise.
It did not get the public attention that it should have, frankly, because the same day the press was focused on the release of the Access Hollywood video. That's what made our news below the fold news that day.
Johnson also says that 2016 was nothing new for Russia. They have a long history of trying to interfere with U.S. elections.
Boom! That's it! Right there! This is nothing new! And I've been saying this. I think Glenn has said it a time or two. I know Russia said it a time or two. The idea that the Russians / Soviets have been trying to interfere in American elections, any moron who has been paying attention knows this. Newt Gingrich got out there on national television and said, you know what? I don't think we should stop shy of investigating the influence that Russia has tried to have on the United States. I think we ought to look at every country's influence on every lawmaker up on Capitol Hill, past and present. Oh, but Democrats, they're not interested in talking about their meetings with the freaking Russians, are they? No, oh no, we don't meet with Russians. Hell, you don't. We're as pure as the wind-driven snow. That's right. Senator Ted Kennedy met with the Russians, too. You know what he was doing? He was plotting with the Soviet Union to try to thwart the re-election of Ronald Reagan. Gee, what do we call that? Collusion. But that was never investigated. That was never prosecuted. Ladies and gentlemen, Jay Johnson got up on Capitol Hill and said, no evidence of collusion again. This is beyond the pale. I'm sorry, but it's just, it's what he testified to today. It should be the end of the discussion. But Democrats are desperate for a talking point, so they're going to continue. Up next, we will talk a little bit about the special elections. And then up on the show, probably the top of next hour, we'll visit with Chuck Woolery and his broadcast partner. Yes, that Chuck Woolery, award-winning game show host, who who has come out as a conservative. And what that does. My first question to him will be, hey, when you come out as a conservative and you're in the entertainment world, what does that do to you, professionally speaking? So that's all coming up here on the Chris Salcedo Show, folks. Can't wait to share the day's events with you here on The Blaze.
Keep up with the Chris Salcedo Show on Facebook and on Twitter at Chris Salcedo TX. Just another way to stay in touch with Chris on The Blaze Radio Network.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services
at 800-600-8192. That's 800-600-8192. 800-600-8192.
The Chris Salcedo Show.
Conservative talk radio with spice.
Welcome back, everybody. It is a brighter day. I honestly believe it is a brighter day, and I think there is... I don't think it is at all low rent or low class. I mean, not low class like Joy Reid. Is that her name? That despicable waste of skin over at MSNBS? Who uttered what she uttered about Steve Scalise. Yeah, Joy Reid is her name. You know, who put out this up? MRC Action, our buddies over at the Media Research Center have put out a statement on this. It was so low rent, so low class. The Media Research Center put this statement out. Even by the low standards of MSNBS, AM Joy host Joy Reid violated the most basic standards of behavior with her comments about Representative Steve Scalise over the weekend. With Representative Scalise still recovering in the hospital from wounds received from a radical left-wing Bernie Sanders supporter on June 14th shooting, Reid saw fit to attack Scalise for supporting legislation she disagreed with. She went on to smear him with a long-debunked claim that he attended a white nationalist event. She also tweeted that Scalise was shot by a white man with a violent background and saved by a black lesbian. We talked about this. A black lesbian who knows her duties, who didn't look at the man's political ideology in saving him, by the way, Joy Reid. And don't forget that it was people of your ideology, a person of your ideology, Joy Reid, who pulled the trigger. Probably prompted by the very utterings that you just did this last weekend. I mean, so I don't think we're at all going down that road when we say that victories in South Carolina and Georgia yesterday were oh so sweet, in particular in Georgia's 6th. Now, why was it so delicious in Georgia's 6th? Well, I think it is because the left wing placed so much emphasis on it, number one. The left wing in the press and out of the press. And that this was, every single poll leading into it said that Ossoff was ahead. And that the Republican stood no chance. And this was going to be a referendum on Trump right up until the point that Karen Handel won. By the way, on the Chris Salcedo Show Facebook page, I have not one, but three offerings now, since I just put up this Daily Caller piece. There is a graphic there that puts Pajama Boy, Mr. Ossoff, next to Hillary Clinton. These two have something in common. They are record breakers, folks. Hillary Clinton broke a record. She smashed one ceiling, maybe not that glass ceiling, but she smashed a ceiling, as did Mr. Ossoff. They have a lot in common. and this graphic that is available for your viewing on the Chris Salcedo Show Facebook page for you to not only view, but share and share alike, as so many who have already found, it's there. That's one. Number two, as you scroll past the actual pajama boy and where your liberty-loving Latino is asking the Democrat Party, hey, Democrats, how's that resist thing working out for you? When will you stand for improving America again? Right below that, right below the picture of pajama boy, there is a still photograph of the crew of CNN. And these are supposed to be, you know, impartial, unbiased individuals. He said with tongue planted firmly in cheek, snicker, snicker. And it looks like a close relative of theirs just died when they learned, the moment they learned that, well, John Ossoff wasn't going to be the next congressman for Georgia 6th. Instead, it was Karen Handel, the Republican, who won by 6 points. And look, just look at the look on their faces. Just glance at the look on their faces. And it is priceless. It is so revealing of their political bias and how they are disgraces to real journalism. The caption reads, "When you work around the clock to beat Republicans and lose your ass off." By the way, do you guys know that's trending on Twitter? Or at least it was when I woke up this morning. Laughing our ass off. I'm sorry. And I have since learned that's a Kellyanne Conway invention. That hashtag got started by none other than Kellyanne Conway. So just in case it's true, I want to give her proper credit. It's genius. And indeed, we are all smiling our ass off today. And then the Daily Caller piece for you folks on the Chris Salcedo Show Facebook page. This is a collection of people of the left who were invested in Mr. Ossoff's winning so that they could be one step closer to taking our rights away. So that they could be one step closer to realizing the dreams of the kids on the campus of Evergreen State College out in Olympia, Washington. These products of government-run schools who are dominated by the left in this country, these products are quoted as saying, F free speech. Yes, the modern-day left-wing of the United States of America, folks. This is what they think. F free speech. Now, they're saying this because they came up with a day where all white people were supposed to get off of campus. You heard me right. It's called a day of absence, and all white people were supposed to get off of campus. Teachers, students, administrators, just leave. So the people of color could have a day without white people. Now, number one, on its face, it's racist. Number two, when Brett Weinstein, a biology professor, said, "I'm not going to do that. I get paid. I'm going to show up and I'm going to work." These mental midgets, these products of government-run education, dominated by the progressives in our country, who said F free speech, they proceeded to call this man, Brett Weinstein, biology professor, a piece of excrement, I'm cleaning that up, and labeled him a racist. These very same people were rooting for John Ossoff in Georgia 6th. And upon realizing that they still wouldn't be one step closer to telling you and me what to do and completely empowering government to lord over our lives, the strain was more the, what was that famous line from Tombstone delivered by Val Kilmer? One of the very memorable lines. "I'm afraid the strain was more than they could bear." And the strain was more than they could bear. So I encourage you to go to the Chris Salcedo Show Facebook page. check out those offerings for you to share and share alike. Now, up next, there is a terrorist group out there threatening violence against Trump supporters and capitalists, and they are progeny of the Democrats.
You're listening to The Chris Salcedo Show.
Part of Generation Blaze on the Blaze Radio Network.
Salcedo.
You know, on April 18th, I said to everyone that this was going to be a very, very tight race. It was going to be contentious, and it was going to require all hands on deck. And that's exactly what we had. From all of the others who were the GOP competitors in the primary, including several who are here tonight. I see Bob Gray. Thank you for your help. Every single member of the Republican Georgia congressional delegation, our constitutional officers, the legislators, Governor Nathan Deal and First Lady Sandra Deal.
That's Karen Handel, part of her victory speech last evening. Welcome back, everybody. It's Chris Salcedo's show, and she had a lot of folks to thank. I don't want to give you guys the impression that the GOP was mailing it in. But it's true, she was outspent. I saw total contributions to the campaigns. I think she was outspent by $8 million. But on personal donations alone, meaning from individuals, money not coming from the parties, it was 5-1 advantage for Ossoff. And the money was coming from liberal elites out in California. And those individuals were giving to the Ossoff campaign by an 8-1, 9-1 margin over those inside of Georgia's 6th. When I saw that, that's what led me to believe. And I don't think I made the prediction on this show. I think it was on the Houston show yesterday. I took a call. Somebody was convinced that the Republicans were going to lose the 6th in Georgia. And I said, I don't see it. When there's so much money pouring from out of district, that means that the Democrat has no support in district. Doesn't even live in the district. So that's what informed me. Plus, polling is completely unreliable. The polling that said that Ossoff never was behind, and that Karen Handel in a district that has been traditionally red for 3 decades, I just didn't believe it. And there isn't much out of the mainstream press that you can believe anymore. There's so much fake news from these individuals who have forgotten how to be journalists. Now, Karen Handel had a lot of people to thank. She's getting to the big guns.
Senator Perdue, Senator Isaacson, and my very close friend, Senator Saxby Chambliss. I need to also thank Speaker Ryan and House leadership and so many of the members across this country who also united to help us hold the 6th. And a special thanks to the President of the United States of America.
There it is. Now, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm going to let her do that again, because remember, this, according to the Basket of Bias Press, the Georgia 6th was a referendum on Donald Trump. It was a referendum on Donald Trump. He only won it by 1.5 points. And I don't want to put too fine a point on this, but Karen Handel won it by 6. I think I've got that right. It's 6 points. I will double check as we hear Karen Handel again say the name of the President of the United States, and we didn't hear any boos. Quite the opposite.
United States of America.
slight correction, and we pride ourselves on accuracy here on the Chris Salcedo Show, folks. A 4% victory by Karen Handel. Still, an improvement on Donald Trump's narrow victory against Hillary Clinton. From 1.5% margin of victory to a 4% margin of victory. Very, very good showing for Karen Handel. Strong showing for Karen Handel. So there was that. And then in victory, Karen Handel showed class and dignity and poise.
Take a minute to acknowledge a new friend that I was able to make over the course of that campaign, this campaign, and that was Majority Whip Steve Scalise. Right up until that tragic day on the ball field, Steve would drop me a text message every single week just to make sure I was doing okay and hanging tough. I think he even called me the Terminator in one of them. Wasn't sure about that one, Steve, but hasta la vista.
So, unlike those on the extreme left on MSNBS and other talking heads, and even, dare I say, some elected members of Congress, she showed class and poise and still wished Steve Scalise a speedy recovery and thoughts and prayers.
Let me just tell you. But really and truly, what happened on that ball field was a terrible tragedy. And we need to all continue to lift up Steve and the others who were injured that day. And we need to also lift up this nation so that we can find a more civil way to deal with our disagreements. Because in these United States of America, no one should ever feel their life threatened over their political beliefs and positions.
Now, I think people of goodwill on both political parties and both ideologies can agree with that sentiment. But there is an extreme part of the liberal persuasion of the Democrats who doesn't feel that way at all. As a matter of fact, they've taken to social media and they have called for all, quote, all manner of physical violence, end quote, against Trump supporters and capitalists. Against Trump supporters and those of you who believe in capitalism. And dare I say, there might even be some Democrats out there who believe in it. Violence against you. Now, who is this group? I can tell you it is a group that has been championed and embraced by the American Democrat Party, by leftists all over the globe. They call themselves Antifa. Now, our buddy Jack Buckby over in the UK has been dealing with these folks for years. And he warned us that they were setting up shop here in the United States, and they have. Antifa stands for anti-fascists. However, these people behave as fascists, advocating violence, advocating the equivalent of book burning when it comes to historical statues from the Civil War era. It's these people. And anyone who gets in their way, they show up with masks on and hoods on. And when somebody says something they don't like, they riot. And they destroy. And they undertake violence using pepper spray or just sheer physical violence against those with whom they politically disagree. And they are wholehearted supporters of one political party in this country. I have not, as I stand here now, heard any of the Democrat Party establishment or Democrat Party members decry Antifa, denounce Antifa. Do you guys remember when the Tea Party sprung up in the wake of Barack Obama, a movement dedicated to freedom and liberty and small, accountable government, and how the Tea Party was savaged as a bunch of racists, even though NBC, and they became infamous during the Obama era for their selective editing to change the meaning of pictures or audio in very dishonest fashion. Remember the cropping out of the fact the man carrying a weapon at a Tea Party rally was a black man? He was a Tea Party member. He was black and he was carrying a weapon because it was a Second Amendment right and he wanted to defend themselves against the likes of Antifa, even though they weren't a major group at the time. And that's how the Tea Party got their unfair label as a hate group. The Tea Party never advocated violence. The Tea Party advocated the Constitution and limited government, and that was a threat to the basket of biased press. And now you have those who are more ideologically aligned with the Scott Pelley's of the world, those more ideologically aligned with the Joy, what's her name, over at MSNBS. You have this left-wing group more ideologically aligned with the majority of the basket of biased press. And they are indeed advocating violence against those with whom they politically disagree, Trump supporters and capitalists. Where is the outcry? Where is the denouncing? Every single Republican had this happen to them. Excuse me, Joe Schmo Republican. Will you denounce the Tea Party? Will you renounce the Tea Party? Well, what do you think of the Tea Party? What do you think of the Tea Party? Are they good for America? Are they bad for America? Every Republican had to answer that question. No Democrat has to answer for Antifa and their calls for violence in the name of left-wing extremism, in the name of liberalism, in the name of the extremist wing of the Democrat Party. And they wonder why they continue to lose election after election after election. I'll be back in a minute.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show, the Blaze Radio Network. Chris Salcedo is on the Blaze Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Chris Salcedo Show. I'm glad you've tuned in. By the way, we have... This is funny. Hold on a minute. I gotta cue this up. We have our eyes down south. For those of you who listen in Houston, I know there's a good portion of folks who listen down the Gulf Coast, Houston, Louisiana, Houston, Texas, Louisiana, and those areas in the Gulf under the gun from Hurricane or Tropical Storm Cindy. We'll make sure that we keep you updated. Anything that's happening as far as massive flooding or wind damage, we'll let you know through the course of the program. Probably not going to be a big deal until later on today anyway, but just in case it speeds up, we'll keep our eyes on the skies, if you will. This is hilarious. A Democrat lawmaker has said, our brand is worse than Trump. Well, that's not hard to do. That's not hard to do at all. Now, Tim Ryan is a blue dog or a moderate Democrat. He's from Ohio. He said this Tuesday following his party's fourth special election defeat in just 3 months, the Democrats are toxic in large areas of the country and that their brand is worse than Trump. This according to the New York Times. Who's writing this up? This is John Street here at The Blaze. JohnStreetAtTheBlaze.com. Ryan made the comment after a Democrat, John Ossoff, lost to Republican Karen Handel in Georgia's hotly contested 6th congressional district race. Special election was held to replace Tom Price, who is now heading up the Department of Health and Human Services for Donald Trump, President Donald Trump. I think these moderate Democrats and even Bernie Sanders, they know the problem. They see who is in charge of their party. Now, look, I may disagree with solutions from Bernie Sanders, but Bernie Sanders knows and understands and recognizes that the Democrat Party has turned its attention to winning elections for power's sake, not for the people's sake. Because the Democrats have said, well, the most important pressing issue of our time is whether or not a mere fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of the population can use the bathroom of her choice and gender identity. Oh, which, by the way, did you guys hear this story out of Canada? Canada just passed a law that could punish you if you get pronouns wrong. Gender pronouns. Canada passed a law Thursday making it illegal to use the wrong gender pronouns. Critics say the Canadians who do not subscribe to progressive gender theory could be accused of hate crimes, jailed, fined, and made to take anti-bias training. This is what the Democrats want to do to the United States. But the Democrat Party, the rank and file, says that's not going to put me back to work. That's not going to keep my family safe. Seems to me you just want to win an election. Back in a minute, folks. It's the Chris Salcedo Show. Chuck Willery is up next on The Blaze. Be right back.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
Prepare yourself to ingest current events, pop culture, and politics with a side of Latin flair.
Vices. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
I had such a great conversation with our next guests on their show. I had to get them onto the program and expose you to their greatness. It was a good time. We had a very good conversation. Emmy award-winning game show legend Chuck Willery and polymath and serial entrepreneur Mark Young. They are a team. Tackles the toughest issues of the day. Their show, Blunt Force Truth, is part talk show, part TED Talk, exploring topics one at a time by setting aside the political rhetoric and laying out some truth using science, research, and them elusive facts. Hey, guys, welcome to the Chris Salcedo Show.
Hey, Chris, it's Chuck Willery, and I'm right here, and I'm happy to be here. I mean, you, great introduction, but you're like the hardest working man in radio.
Well, these days, coming out of the economy that we've been enduring for the last 8 years, it's a necessity. Look, we'll go back and forth because I have a lot of questions for you guys, not only about personal issues with you guys, but also with some of the issues of the day. And Chuck, first with you,
yep,
being
sir.
A conservative in the entertainment
yeah.
business, we all watched Oprah when she came out. In support of Barack Obama and what happened to her career and her support, not only financially, but her audience, it just, you know, was cut right. in half. What was your experience?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what happens is once you uncloak yourself, she as a liberal and me as a conservative, you really lose half your audience because everybody wants to be liked. I don't care if you're President Trump or anybody else. Everybody wants to be liked. It's nice to be liked. But the minute you get into politics, sometimes religion, it's one of the two things your mother always tells you not to talk about in nice company and good company. So once you express those views with any kind of heartiness at all, people are going to break away from you and they're not going to like you anymore just because of what you believe. So that happens. And in Hollywood, I'm an oxymoron. I mean, a Hollywood conservative is just, you know, it doesn't exist, not really. Now, Hollywood yeah. Republicans exist, but not necessarily conservatives.
Right. And, you know, we've seen, I mean, Kelsey Grammer and Tom Selleck and James Woods. I guess James has to be one of those guys.
James Woods has got a loud voice. I met James once. We were in a golf tournament together and rode together at a Frank Sinatra golf tournament in Palm Springs, and I got to know him a little bit. But that's the only connection I had with him. But I'm very proud of him to step forward and really start voicing his opinion. He's doing a great job.
Yeah, very sharp wit, too. Hey, Mark, let me go to you. What's your take on the Georgia 6th congressional election that happened yesterday? The report said that Ossoff was getting donations from California, a 9-1 margin compared to what he was receiving from the district in which he was running. But yet the GOP still won, and you had Ossoff being supported by the majority of the press and the Hollywood elites, and Karen Handel ended up winning by 6 points. What's your take on that?
Well, the first thing you know is everyone on the left, which basically is the entire media, was saying that this election was going to be an entire referendum on President Trump and how the country is rejecting him. It took CNN about 3 minutes to jump in and say, well, this was a bad night for Donald Trump because his candidate only won by 6 points. I'm serious. The example I get of this is Napoleon retreating on Russia. And he's saying, no, we're not retreating on Russia. We're advancing on Paris. Just change the narrative.
That's brilliant. Sheer brilliance. Folks, we're talking with Chuck Woolery and with Mark Young. Their show is Blunt Force Truth. And let me go back to Chuck. Otto Warmbier, who was an American citizen who was detained by the North Koreans, came back home in a coma and died here in the last couple of days. Right. Tucker Carlson on his show last night articulated some of the reaction from the political left, and I wanted to play what Tucker was reading and then get your reaction to it. Listen to this.
Meanwhile, Salon.com said Warmbier's humiliation was, quote, richly deserved, and called him, quote, America's biggest idiot frat boy. HuffPo gloated that, quote, North Korea proves your white male privilege is not universal. Those quotes are real. We're not making them up, and they're disgusting.
That was his take, Chuck. What do you think?
Yeah, well, you know, that's a perfect example of why the left is losing and why they're losing consistently. It's that attitude of you're to blame. Now, there's an argument to be made as to why in the world he was there in the first place. I have no desire, nor would I want my children, and I have children his age, to go to North Korea and look around and anything else. It's just asking for trouble. So, okay, that aside, these people are just brutal. They could care less. And the left is kind of brutal, too. And I think the American people are just sick of it. It's really interesting. In the last year and a half, maybe 2 years, since Trump started running, I really believe that the American people have picked up on what the mainstream media is, what the Democratic Party really is, and they don't like it. And that's why they're losing elections. And it's just exposure. It's like somebody new at school comes in and everybody gets their personality finally and goes, oh, they're a snake. They're not the nice person I thought they were. So I think this is what's happening. And I'm happy for it, frankly, because, they just do some really nasty things. This whole thing with the guy getting shot, what's his name, Scalise, at
Steve's
ballpark and all that, and how they turned that around. I mean, we were together for about a quick 5 minutes until he reached the hospital, I guess. Mm-hmm. So it's that same kind of attitude which predominates is the typical attitude of the left, and I think it's exposing them for who they are. It's nasty, and people do not like it.
Yeah, and to be bipartisan about this, John McCain jumps onto the scene yesterday. And I agree with the sentiment, and I think you echoed that, Chuck, where, going to North Korea, not a good idea. John McCain, though, John McCain took it to another level, saying that if Americans are stupid enough to go to North Korea, they should sign a waiver. And this is a day after Otto Warmbier dies. And here's John McCain.
That's pretty insensitive, don't you think?
Yeah. The sentiment, okay.
The family. I mean, they certainly are aware of that. They've gone through this now for over a year. And there's no sense rubbing it in. But, it is certainly an argument. There's no reason for our people to be running around Iran, in North Korea and places like that. You're just looking for trouble.
Yeah, but let these people bury their child first.
Absolutely.
Indeed. Yeah. I think the sentiment was good. The timing was just awful. Okay, Mark, to you, right. and Chuck took us right where I wanted to go with you, because as Chuck mentioned, we had this kumbaya moment for, what, 5 minutes? And then all of a sudden, Pelosi, Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, they're all opening up on Republicans because of what's going on with health care. They are upset that they're not being made a part of the repeal of Obamacare, but they declared they didn't want to be a part of any repeal of Obamacare. So what do you make of those dueling messages, and why they're not being called on it by those who are allegedly the press?
Here's the problem with calling out the Democrats. The issue is, Chris, who's going to call them out? You, Chuck, me, maybe Tucker Carlson, maybe Sean Hannity? Rush Limbaugh, we don't have the major voices. We don't have the platforms that they have. And the Main Street, the liberal media, is complicit in this. They are part of the Democratic machine.
Oh, you know, I'll add to that, Mark. And I believe that they are the Democratic machine, and they're leading the Democrats in what to do. I think they're the leaders in this, not the responders to what the Democrats are doing.
Yeah, you know, I think we need voices like you, Chris, and Chuck doing what we're doing. This is what we have to do if we want to get the truth out.
Well, it does seem like the insane are running the asylum. We had this story yesterday. These kids, products of government-run schools, Evergreen State College in Olympia, Washington, their take on the First Amendment is F free speech. and they want white people to voluntarily leave a campus for a day of absence. And biology professor, Brett Weinstein, says, I'm not going to leave. I'm going to show up for work. And they call him a fascist, and they call him a racist and a piece of excrement. And I'm cleaning that up. These are the people who are leading the Democrat Party. And you find a lot of these people inside of the mainstream press.
And you wonder why they're losing elections.
And he's a fascist, and he's Jewish, right?
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
I mean, it's all mixed up. They just throw this hyperbole. It's just unbelievable. They have no argument. They can't win the debate, so they just throw words at you and names and whatever. They've been doing this for a long, long time. This is actually nothing new. But I tell you what is new, and that is on college campuses today during graduations, they literally were asking for segregation, the left. They wanted to segregate LGBT. They wanted to segregate black from white, Hispanic from black and white. We fought for segregation, I think, in the 60s with the Republican Senate getting the Civil Rights Bill through so that Johnson could sign it. And most people don't know that. But, you know, we finished with segregation. Now it's back again, and the left is leading the charge. What is that all about?
I have been of the mind that if you're going to fight racism, I think you ought to stop being racist first. I mean, I guess the first predicate. Hey, guys, we're up against the clock. I know you guys understand what that's about. Emmy award-winning game show legend Chuck Woolery and serial entrepreneur Mark Young. They are the duo that makes up Blunt Force Truth. Guys, where can we find your show?
BluntForceTruth.com, iTunes and Stitcher. And I think I've covered it. But BoneForceTruth.com is kind of an interesting site. Go visit us there.
Nice. Hey, guys, I appreciate the conversation. I really enjoyed our conversation when I was on your program. So thanks for being here on the Salcedo Show.
We loved having you. Love being with you, Chris. Hope to talk to you again soon.
888-900-3393, 888-900-3393. It's the Salcedo Show on The Blaze.
He is a liberty-loving Latino conservative. Need we say more? The Chris Salcedo Show, only on the Blaze Radio Network. You're listening to The Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
Get the breaking news over to Fox News Channel right now. There's been a stabbing in Michigan. A man yelling Allahu Akbar, stabbing a Michigan police officer. Let's listen in.
I just wonder, where do you put up the defense shields? Where do you put up the security? Where do you separate the public and the screening to prevent harm to the public? But it does sort of twist around. The old adage, we have our planes to worry about. No, sometimes it isn't even when you're near the plane.
I know, but Neil, I think we need to do a much better job, without changing, necessarily, not changing the Constitution, but, the Attorney General guidelines, the political correct training that is absent, the motive for this jihad, these are things that have to change, just like the Prime Minister of Great Britain said the other day. We have to do things differently. I mean, we've been just sitting back, basically, and taking this. And it's just a matter of time before something, actually kills a lot of people. So I don't think, I'm not saying we need a police state, but we need to have a lot more sensibility about, and good strategy, a lot of which President Trump wants to do, about vetting. You know, heretofore, we didn't have a clue who these people were, whether they were Sharia people, which is totally inconsistent with our Constitution, totally inconsistent right. with, the homosexual women's
rights. We've got to do a lot more of it. All right. Thank
I
you
mean, there's
much.
Just a lot more things that have to
You're
be done,
right, James.
Including getting
we'll
the...
Have more. Right.
All right, that's James Carlstrom. He was a former FBI assistant director. Fox was, as you can hear, Neil Cavuto trying to wrap up rather quickly. He was up against a hard break, had to get out. So that's about all we know. A stabbing at a Michigan airport. A Michigan airport. That's where this was all going down. And the man yelling, Allahu Akbar. Now, as many on the American left will say, we can't jump to any conclusions by what was motivating this guy. Even though he was following a pattern that has been outlined by jihadists, he was shouting Allahu Akbar, which is God is great, and is an anthem of our declared enemy. We can't make any assumptions, you see. You know what? Let me turn the Wayback Machine here. This was just before we joined Neil Cavuto. It may have some information that we didn't get a chance to get.
Press reports, it goes a little further than that.
You know, I want to switch gears, if you don't mind, James, in this incident in Michigan at the airport where an officer was stabbed in the neck. It was at first critical condition, now stable. All points, science points to someone who, obviously was extreme, shouted Allahu Akbar. We keep seeing this playing out in different locales across the country, the world. Authorities are going to be speaking to the press very shortly on this, but this was at an airport. And this was no warning. And there you go. That's what you know. That's what we have. What do you think?
Well, Neil, I think we're going to continue to see things like this. You know, the motive is sort of global. I mean, it's broadcast, over the Internet and the public media. So there are going to be people that are conspiratorial, that react to this jihad, and there's going to be lone, lunatics that I have no idea if this person at the Flint airport was by himself or not, but I think it's really irrelevant to a large extent, other than a conspiracy usually involves things that are going to kill a lot more people than just one person, but that's not necessarily the case depending on what type of weapon they use. But Neil, I think we're going to see more and more of this throughout the West.
You know, you think about it, James, talked about it on incidents on airlines, but now increasingly, if you think of the attack about a year and a half ago at an airport, you almost wonder, where do you put up the defense shields? Where do you put up the security? Where do you separate?
And that's where we joined Neil Cavuto before we got to the break. So, back from the break, where do you draw that line between freedom of expression, freedom of religion, and then safety, and then security? I guess we have to apply the same standard we do as conservatives that we do to the Second Amendment. You come to the United States and you are innocent until proven guilty. It is our political opposition, ladies and gentlemen, who believe in guilty and then you got to prove yourself innocent. They've turned the American ideal of innocent until proven guilty on its ear, in particular when it serves their own political purposes. But when it comes to individuals who come into this country from other nations, in particular from the Middle East, that is the assumption we have to go on. Now, there is a way to approach this to ensure that those who are coming in here really want to be Americans. We have to make sure that they are coming here to assimilate, to be a part of our culture, make sure that they're gainfully employed, that they're not coming here to plug themselves into our vast welfare system that is bankrupting our nation, and that they will learn and adhere to the Constitution of the United States. None of this Sharia law business, as the former FBI assistant director had made allusion to, that there is no compatibility between Sharia law and the Constitution of the United States. None. Zero. Nada. And it's foolish and irresponsible out of an insane notion of political correctness to sit there and say that there is a way for those two to be compatible. Sharia law is brutal. It's repressive. It's prejudice. Sharia law is sexist. And there's no other way I can put it. It is antithetical to a government of, by, and for the people, the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. Sharia law is every bit as bad as liberalism is. Centralized governing authority. Every bit as repressive as communism is, or dictatorships, or fascists. So it is incompatible with the American ideal, and we have to be very clear about that. But at that same time, I don't think that we should be looking suspect at people simply because they choose to worship a certain way. Back in a minute.
The Chris Salcedo Show, part of Generation Blaze, only on the Blaze Radio Network.
You're taking in a little Latin flair with Chris Salcedo on the Blaze Radio Network.
This is Rich. Hold on. I've got to dip into this.
Demoralized and out of power in the U.S. House, U.S. Senate, governorships, and state legislatures, the Democratic Party is not in a good place. Joining me now, Democratic Congressman Seth Moulton of Massachusetts. Congressman, good to see you. As always, as results rolled in last night, you tweeted, quote, Ossoff race better be a wake-up call. For Democrats, business as usual isn't working. Time to stop rehashing 2016 and talk about the future.
The post-mortem is going on right now, folks, over in the liberal bastions like CNN and MSNBS. Nancy Pelosi is getting heat today. Nancy Pelosi, as being the leader of the Democrats, should this antiquated dinosaur, and I'm saying that not as a reflection of her obvious advanced years, her ideology, her ideas are Jurassic. The leftist ideas are as old as dirt. Collectivism has failed throughout human history. And that's what Nancy Pelosi brings to the Democrat Party. The resist movement, as we articulated earlier in the show. Hey, Dems, how's that working out for y'all? I'm asking, how is burning down your neighborhoods working out for y'all? How is threatening to kick the crap out of your political opposition? How's that working out for y'all? How is shooting at Republicans? How's that working out for y'all? I'm just asking. So here you have Jake Tapper, rightly pointing out over at CNN, things aren't working out so well. And there, you know, Nancy Pelosi has some political opposition within the Democrat Party, some of the younger folks who see this large lurch left and Nancy Pelosi having her head so far up Barack Obama's rear end, she could give him a colonoscopy. Same thing with Harry Reid. And where they took the Democrats. Do you realize the Democrat Party rarely stood up to Barack Obama? As a matter of fact, it happened so infrequently. I can't remember one time where they stood up to Barack Obama. Not one time. When he was bashing the Jewish state of Israel, very few Democrats stood up to him and never confronted him directly. Never said, I disagree with the president on this. Never said that. When he was kissing Vladimir Putin's rear end on Crimea, not one Democrat stood and said, you know, I can't get behind that. When he was doing that insane pro-Iranian nuke deal, not one Democrat stood up. And they didn't dare. Representatives like, who was it, Seth Moulton, didn't dare. Because if he did, the ire of Nancy, they threaten and they coerce because they're good little leftists there on the Democrat side of the aisle. I mean, it's just, that's the nature of who they are. Totalitarian by nature. You step out of line, you step out of the party line, and you are smacked hard. There's no independence. There was no independence from Barack Obama among Democrats. Also, a virtue of the Democrat Party is they don't think for themselves. They're collectivists. Groupthink. That's what they're all about. Whatever you say, Obama,
whatever Obama says, that's what we say.
That was Nancy Pelosi's position. That was Harry Reid's dumbass position. That's all they did was kiss that guy's rear end. And all Barack Obama did was kiss despots and dictators' rear ends the entire 8 years he was in there. As a matter of fact, the only guys that Obama got tough with were our allies and our friends and Republicans. Anyhow, so that's all happening today after this rather historic, I would say, series of elections. Trump and the GOP winners all. Now, one part I didn't play for Chuck Willery from Tucker Carlson's show last night was, what is this guy's name? Larry Wilmore. You remember who he is, Ellie? Larry Wilmore?
No.
All right. He used to work at Comedy Central. He had a show. Let me say, he had a show. This is when Otto Warmbier, and since you've been listening to the show, and I know you've been paying attention, Otto Warmbier is the guy who was wrongly jailed by which country? Go ahead, Ellie.
North Korea?
That a girl, see? You know what she says? She gets all of her news from the Chris Salcedo Show, don't you? Isn't this true? Isn't this true, Ellie?
Only way to get your news.
When you come to work, this is her time to get informed.
If you want the truth, then yes.
Yes, you want the truth? And if I don't talk about it, it's not happening. I'm just kidding. Anywho, so Otto Warmbier was jailed by the North Koreans and went through that show trial where they put him on trial. And Tucker Carlson played Larry Wilmore's take on this. As he's an alleged comedian. Of course, he wasn't. Nobody found him funny. I think that's why, number one, Comedy Central got rid of him. Number two, I mean, listen to this guy. A fellow American was wrongly jailed by a communist country. And this was Larry Wilmore's take.
Otto Frederick Warmbier? Did this kid get arrested in North Korea and then just gave the cop his fake ID? Yes, sir. We've got American student Otto Warmbier here. His birthday's 420. And he lives on 69 Weed Avenue? Listen up, frat boy. This isn't like the time you stole Sigep's goat. This is North Korea.
So you watched the tape of an American being humiliated during a show trial, and that's what you say? That guy's show got canceled, thank God.
Yeah. So Tucker wasn't very impressed with Larry Wilmore. No, apparently neither were the viewers, and neither was Comedy Central. But again, this is another reason why I believe, and Chuck Willery touched on this, is Americans aren't into this. Even Democrats say, wait a minute, you see a bunch of commies take one of our countrymen, humiliate him, and then, of course, beat him to death, and all you have to say is, and this is why I was so critical of John McCain yesterday for calling Warmbier stupid the day after the man died. It's like, okay, yeah, I understand. You shouldn't be going over to North Korea. You shouldn't go to these, you shouldn't go to Iran. You shouldn't be doing that kind of stuff. I get that. But the day after the guy dies, you call him stupid and, oh, sign this waiver? Good grief. So progressives, whether they be John McCain or this Larry Wilmore reprobate or the folks from Salon, they boiled this down to white privilege and a frat boy. That's what they did. And people go, people are not wired in general to be that hate-filled for this long. I mean, what is it? It's been months now that the Democrat slash liberal progressive community has been on hate. That's all they do. They hate Trump. They hate Republicans. They hate conservatives. And to the point where these reprobates will get on national television, well, Comedy Central, will get on Comedy Central and say crap like that. And people go, no, not for me. I'm not that much of a sadist. I'm not that much of an uncaring, unfeeling person. People are rejecting it, and they're rejecting it handily. So there's that component I wanted to make sure we talked a little bit about today. And there's another story out there that I didn't want you guys to miss. Now, this story comes from our pals at Judicial Watch. Judicial Watch announced, what is today's date? Today's the 21st. It was 2 days ago. Judicial Watch announced 2 days ago that the National Security Council, the NSC, on May 23rd, 2017, informed Judicial Watch by letter that the materials regarding the unmasking by Obama National Security Advisor Susan Rice of the identities of any U.S. citizens associated with the Trump presidential campaign or transition team have been removed to the Obama Presidential Library. You heard me right. The alleged and highly suspect actions of illegally and improperly unmasking Americans' name for politics' sake, done by Team Obama, which the FISA security court had deemed inappropriate and said it was a systematic action that the Obama administration had undertaken for years. A violation of Americans' Fourth Amendment rights. Team Obama said, let me be clear. Those documents are very important to me, and we're going to take them to the Obama Library. Let me be clear. You know how long he can sit on those? 5 years. 5 years. And the theory is that in 5 years, there'll be another breaking story. There'll be another story, and Obama will be a distant memory. He won't be, by the way, because the cancer of Barack Obama will continue to eat away at the United States of America, even if Trump is able to get us back in the path of prosperity and strength once again. There will still be harm done by Obama. We'll be feeling in 5 years. Mark my words. Mark my words. As a matter of fact, if the Republicans don't do repeal and replace with a sunset provision, meaning we don't have a permanent entitlement there, we'll be feeling the effects of the Obama administration for the rest of our lives. Because now you've got the Republican Party saying, yeah, we need an entitlement here. Let's put an entitlement here. Let's spend trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars here because the government needs to be involved in healthcare. Obama said so. So, anyway, that's the theory. The most transparent administration, blah, 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 has made sure that you and I won't know the depths, at least to the greatest degree they possibly could, the depths of how they violated your and my Fourth Amendment rights. I'll be right back.
The next generation of talk radio. The Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
Barack Obama could have been a better party leader. And I think that the fact that he wasn't has put his legacy in jeopardy.
That's extremist left-winger Keith Ellison. He is the vice chairman, heavy stress on the word vice, of the Democrat National Committee. Now, he said that after Barack Obama left office. None of this talk was while Barack Obama was in office. Democrats showed no independence when Barack Obama was in office. Democrats just went along with every anti-American, kooky, nutty thing that he went in the direction of. They even spot the most important thing, as and we mentioned this earlier as well, most important thing to Democrats, where the sun rose and fell on Democrats, is where transgenders were going to go to the bathroom. And transgenders make about a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of this society. And there were no pushes to deny them the ability to use the restroom. But Republicans said, yeah, it's probably not a good idea to punish people for not wanting, you know, those who identify as a certain gender to be able to use whatever dressing room or bathroom they wish. That would infringe on other people. Democrats didn't care. And that was their most important issue. And then they sat back and go, gee, I wonder why we're losing elections.
We lost a lot of state house seats, governorships, secretaries of states. His true legacy is in danger. And I think that he can't say that he wasn't part of those losses. I mean, who else?
Yeah, who else? And where was this talk when he was in office?
We can't oppose Obama. We are Democrats. We just do whatever Obama tells us.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
But I want to support Obama. And I did. Obama does not. Obama is God. Obama.
That's my clueless Dem voice. I got to work on that. I think I can make that even stronger. But you guys all get the point. There was no independence, and there was certainly no emphasis from the Democrat Party on those who really matter, their constituents. They sacrificed the well-being of their constituents to please Obama for Obama's legacy. Obamacare is a perfect example of that. Remember, everybody, society's worth isn't measured by how much power is seized by an out-of-control government, but rather how much power is reserved for we, the people. Great day. See you tomorrow.
The Chris Salcedo Show, part of Generation Blaze, only on the Blaze Radio Network.